build for life. We're all part of God's story, this grand story of God. We are a part of it. And whether we feel it or not, God is building right now. Whether we feel it or not, God is working in ways we cannot see, even now. And sometimes when we look at the brokenness that is in our life, we don't feel like, sometimes maybe we may not feel like we're even enough. This story is in Nehemiah from chapter 1, verse 7. I'll recommend that you look through it. There is another interesting portion of scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. It says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, as living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. You also are being built. Being built. It's happening even now. And sometimes we don't feel like that. But truth of the matter is, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to those that are oppressed and to set the captives free. And this offer is open and available to all of us. I want to talk about building for life in light of Nehemiah. He had to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. But we can look at that portion of scripture and take something out of it that we can use to rebuild our own life. The first point I want to talk about is that you have to identify your brokenness. When we look at Nehemiah's story from verse 1, chapter 1, verse 4, it says, when I heard these things, I sat down and wept for some days. I mourned and fasted before the God of heaven. Sometimes we as children of God need to face our brokenness. This is a season. This is something that I personally had to acknowledge, that I was broken and messed up. I became a Christian in 2007. I accepted Christ in 2007. But before that, I was born and raised in Uganda, and my dad was not there. He left when I was 4. And because of his absence, I felt I needed his presence, and I acted out. I got in trouble with the communities, my neighbors, sometimes even the police. I remember one time I was arrested by police, and my mom had to come and pick me from the police station. And when they discharged me from the police station after 2 days, I was charged as a rogue and vagabond. But this was after I'd accepted Christ. But I realized that there was a brokenness in me. There was pain in my heart. And until I actually had to take this to God and admit that something is not right. And this was just not it. There was drunkenness and all sorts of other things. I had to accept that I cannot do this on my own. But until I actually gave it to God and I said, I don't know what to do with this, take it and do whatever you want to do with it. To the extent that there are people who knew me back then, that when they see what God has done in my life, they think, that's your brother, it's not you. They say, it's not you. to the extent that some of my friends actually told me, you are beyond repair. You have passed the mark of restoration. And the way I say it, the point or the line that the world had drawn for me, that I was, that was my end point. That is where God picked me from. But it required that I actually acknowledge that I was broken and that I was messed up. And I was not just acknowledging that I was broken, but I had to actually give my brokenness to God and allow him to do what he alone could do in me. And the second point I want to talk about is that we have to pray with purpose. When Nehemiah had these things, he prayed purposefully. He confessed the sins of Israel to God. He reminded God of his promises to the children of Israel. What God said to Moses. Nehemiah stood in the gap for the nation of Israel. And not just that, but he prayed for the favor of God. That while he was busy doing his duties, that he may have favor in the sight of the king. And when we think about this, sometimes it's easy for us to read a portion of scripture like this and think, yes, that was Nehemiah. And those were those times. But whatever God does, God moves through men. When God is ready to move in this city of Leiden, he's not going to fall from the sky. He's going to move through men like you and me. But he cannot impose himself on you. We need to ask God what he wants us to do, just on a personal level. We need to just seek the face of God for ourselves. Sometimes it's so easy for us to get preoccupied about what we want to do for God. And we are not that much attentive with what God wants to do in us. And this is something for all of us to think about. As I say it, I also say it to myself. Because before God can do anything through you, he has to have done a work in you. Before you can believe God for your city, you have to have believed God for your home. You have to have believed God for your community. You have to have believed God for your family, your household. Because God is a God of order. And it's, at the end of the day, God will do what he has purposed to do. He's not seeking that we be perfect. He's looking for those that are available. He says the job is big and the workers are few. Who will go for us? The third point I want to talk about is Nehemiah dared to dream big. And not just daring to dream big, but he was willing to take action on that. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4, 2 and 4, he said, so the king asked me, why does your face look sad when you're not ill? This can only be nothing but sadness of heart. I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when my father's where when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire? The king said to me, what is it that you want? What is it that you want? And I prayed to the God of heaven. And I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if I've found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah, where my fathers are buried, so that I can rebuild the city. And if you read on, Nehemiah's wish was granted. But he was willing to dare. He was willing to dream big. It takes a dream for us to make a dream come true. It takes courage to dream. It is daring. It's almost crazy. Nehemiah could have been killed by simply making this request. It could have cost him his life. But he was willing to stand in the gap. And who knows? Maybe there's something God is nudging up in you to stand up about. I'm interested in the text where the king asked Nehemiah, what is it that you want? There's a story I'm reminded of. A man had good connections in the Far East, in one of the Arab lands. And he went there just to have an interaction with one of the princes, who was the king-to-be. And so they went and played a good game of golf while talking about their business. And afterwards, the one who was to be crown prince, or the king-to-be, asked this friend of his, what do you want? I mean, is there something that I can give you? And the guy was, you know, being too modest. You know how Europeans are. I'm African. So if you don't ask me what I want, I will surprise you. So he was like, no, I don't want anything. I don't want anything from you. The king said, come on, tell me something. What do you want? And this guy's like, he thought about it for a while, and he said, I collect golf clubs. So he just told King, I collect golf clubs. I would appreciate if I can have a golf club from you. And he said, okay. Point noted. And they shook hands, and he got on the plane and went back to wherever he came from. Weeks passed, he had nothing. And then one day he received a post of a title deed for a golf club. This is what happens when you are dealing with kings. Now yours is the King of Kings. Yours is the King of Kings. And they're giving you a blank check. What do you want? What is it that you're willing to stand in the gap for? He expected a golf club. They gave him a golf club. What is it that you're willing to believe God for? And while we pray, God is going to give us ideas. Some things are going to come to you. It may even feel uncomfortable. You may even think you're crazy to even think that that is possible. But dare to trust God on it. The fourth point is that we need to get connected. There is nothing that we can do on our own. If you want to go fast, you can go alone. But if you want to go far, you need company. Nehemiah connected with people to help him in the process of fulfilling this God-given mandate. We need the help of others for us to be able to fulfill the dreams that God has given us. We need other people's help to build our lives. And sometimes it's so easy for us to look at people and think because they're not in our position that they're not important. But everyone is important in the sight of God. There are no mistakes. There are no accidents in the sight of God. Scripture says that he causes all things to work together for good to them that love him and to them that have been called according to his purpose. And everyone counts in God's sight. So who are the people that are in your circle of influence? Who are the people that you're taking for granted? Sometimes we are interacting with people and then they're out of our sight, and then you hear they're about doing great things and you're like, I saw this guy somewhere. But what did you say to him when he was there? What did you do about him being there? God will do what he has purposed to do in the lives of people. And sometimes we wait to connect with people when they are in positions of influence. It is always better to know someone when they're down, and such that when they get up, they will, because sometimes we're so preoccupied about who we know, but do they know us? Say, I know this person. The question is, do they know you? We need to get connected. And the fifth point is that we have to be good stewards. There's things God has given us, each and every one of us. Regardless of how you feel or how bad you think things are, there's some things that God has put in your heart. There's people in your circle of influence. There's resources that you have right now that if you can only pay attention to that, you can start to make an influence with that. It is human nature that sometimes we like to overstate the importance of what we don't have. Nehemiah faced difficulties. People came to him. When we just, if you will look at Nehemiah chapter 5, from 1 to 15, there is an interaction there that relates, talks about famine. There's drought that happened. There was starvation. People's children were being sold into slavery. There was debts and high taxes. But Nehemiah used this position to actually stand for the benefit of the people of Israel. And for us as Christians right now, what comes to mind when we think about the issue that relates to stewardship? Are we good stewards? How well are we doing in this department? When it comes to money, do you worship money or you worship with your money? Are we good stewards? The things that God has put in our influence, how are we relating with the people that God has connected with us? Do we use people and love money? We are called to love people. Money is a tool that has been given to us to use. The sixth point that I want to talk about is that this is something for us to think about. Don't give up. Don't give up. Some things are going to happen. People are going to come and stand in your way. Anything that is good is going to be attacked. The only way you're not going to face attack or opposition, don't do anything. No one will bother you. Just sit in the corner and wait for food. Maybe some people will attack that you're in the corner. They'll come and push away from the corner. But besides that, anything that is good is going that we do is going to be attacked. And Nehemiah faced opposition. The text has two interesting names. There was Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah, the Ammonite official. From the point they heard about Nehemiah's mission, they were set to frustrate him. We see in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 10, it says that they were disturbed when they heard that someone is concerned about the affairs or the welfare of Israel. They got disturbed that someone was actually even thinking about that. And in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, when they heard that they were rebuilding the wall, they became angry. They took it a step further. From just being disturbed, it angered them. And then in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 10, they actually started sending letters of intimidation. You are going to face opposition. But don't give up. Because what God has given to you to do, if it is from God, no one can frustrate it. If the mandate that has been given to you is God-given, no one can frustrate you. And there's a scripture in John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus says, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And number 7, we need to be fulfilled. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when we talk about building our lives, that can only be done by the Holy Spirit. And unless we are open to what the Spirit wants to do in us, God will not do what God has purposed to do. And it doesn't mean that if we are not willing to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that God changes his position as God. No. It is the Spirit that he has given us to rebuild us, because we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And not just as temples, but we are living stones that are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. And may we be encouraged by this. Thank you very much.